Mimi, fourth floor. I put the stuff in her drink last night. It was so easy. There was ketamine going around, and I got hold of some, shook the powder into her glass until it dissolved, and asked one of Camille's friends to give it to the British girl with the red hair. He seemed only too pleased to do it. She's quite pretty, I suppose. I had to do it. I couldn't have her there. But that doesn't mean I don't feel bad about it. I've been so careful my whole life about drugs, apart from that night in the park, and then to inflict them on someone else without them even knowing? That wasn't cool. It's not her fault she made the mistake of coming to this place. That's the worst part. She's probably not even a bad person. But I know I am. Camille comes out of her room wearing a silk sleep, black rings of smudged makeup around her eyes. This is the first time she surfaced all day. Hey, last night was crazy. People really enjoyed it, don't you think? She looks at me closely.
Putain, Mimi, you look like shit.
What happened to your knees? They still hurt from where I hit the tarmac in front of that van. The concierge insisted on dabbing some antiseptic onto the grazes. She grins.
Someone had a good night, no?
I shrug. Oui, I suppose so. Actually, it was probably one of the worst nights of my life. But I didn't sleep well.
I didn't sleep at all.
She looks at me more closely.
Oh, was it that kind of no sleep?
What do you mean? I wish she'd stop looking at me so intently.
You know what I mean. Your mystery guy?
My heart suddenly beating too fast in my chest. Oh, no, it wasn't anything like that.
Wait, she grins at me. You never told me. Did it work?
What do you mean, did it work? I feel like she's crowding me, the smell of Miss Dior and stale cigarette smoke suddenly overpowering. I need her out of my space. The stuff we picked out. Mimi! She raises her eyebrows. You can't have forgotten. It was only like 2 weeks ago. Already it feels like it happened to someone else. I see myself like a character in a film, knocking on the door to Camille's room. Camille sitting on the bed, painting her toenails, the room stinking of nail polish and weed. I want to buy some lingerie, I told her. Maman always brought all my underwear. We went together every season to RS, and she would buy me 3 simple sets, black, white, nude. But I wanted something different. Something I had picked myself. Only I didn't have any idea where to go. I knew Camille would. Camille's eyebrows shot up. Mimi, what's happened to you? That nude look and now lingerie?
Who is he? She smiled slyly. Or she? Merde, you're so mysterious. I don't even know if you actually prefer girls.
A smirk. Or maybe you're like me, and it depends what mood you're in. Could she really not know who it was? To me it seemed so obvious. Not just that I was into him, but that he and I had a special connection. It felt like it was obvious to the outside world, to everyone who saw us. Come, she said, jumping up, throwing her foam toe dividers to one side. We're going now. She dragged me into Passage du Désir in Châtelet. It's a sex shop, one of a chain, on a big, busy shopping street, alongside shoe and clothes shops, because, I guess, this is France and screwing is like a thing of national pride. You see couples coming out carrying bags over their arms, smiling secret smiles at each other. Women striding in there on their lunch breaks to buy vibrators.
I'd never gone into one before. In fact, every time I'd passed one of their stores, I'd blushed at the window displays and looked away. I felt like everyone in there was looking at me, wondering what this blushing, loser virgin was doing among all that latex, fetish wear, and lube. I lowered my head, trying to hide behind my new fringe. I had horrific images of Papa walking past and somehow spotting me inside, dragging me out by my hair, calling me petite salope in front of the whole street. Camille dug out boxes with things called love kits in whole lingerie and suspender sets for 10 euros. But I shook my head. They weren't sophisticated enough. She grabbed a huge, bright pink dildo with obscene protruding veins, waved it in front of me. Maybe she'd get one of these while we're here.
Put it back, I hissed, ready to die of shame.
Yeah, we have that expression in French too. Mourir de honte.
Masturbating is healthy, chérie, Camille said, way louder than she needed to.
She was enjoying this, I could tell. You know what's not healthy? Not masturbating. I bet that school your papa sent you to told you it's a sin.
I've told Camille about the school, just not why I had to leave.
Va te faire foutre, I said, giving her a shove.
Ah, but that's exactly what you need to do. Go fuck yourself.
I dragged her out of there. We went into a classier place where the shop assistants with their chignons and their perfect red lipstick looked at me sideways.
My men's shirts, my big boots, my home-cut fringe. A security guard tailed us.
That would be enough normally. I'd leave. But I needed to do this. For him.
I want to pick out something too, Camille told me, holding a silk harness up against herself.
You own more stuff than this entire shop.
Oui, but I want something more sophisticated, you know?
Who's it for? I asked her.
Someone new. She gave a secretive smile. That was weird. Camille's never mysterious about anything. If she has a new fuck buddy on the scene, the whole world has normally heard about it about 30 minutes after their first screw.
Tell me, I said. But still she refused to say.
I didn't like this new mysterious Camille.
But I felt too high with the thrill of my purchase to think much about it. I couldn't wait.
Next to the shelves of designer sex toys, we browsed through racks of lace and silk, felt the fabric between our fingers. The lingerie had to be perfect. Some of it was too much. Crotchless, buckles and straps, leather. Some of it Camille rejected as stuff your maman would buy.
Flowers and silk in pastel colors. Pink, pistachio, lavender.
Then, I found it, the one for you.
She held it up to me.
It was the most expensive set of all the ones we'd looked at. Black lace and silk, so fine, you could hardly feel it between your fingers.
Chic, but still sexy. Grown up.
In a changing room with velvet drapes, I tried the set on. I held up my hair and half closed my eyes. I was feeling less embarrassed now. I'd never looked at myself like this before. I thought I'd feel stupid. Gauche. I thought I'd worry about my small tits, my slight pot belly, my bow legs. But I didn't. Instead, I imagined revealing myself to him. I pictured the look on his face. Saw him sliding it off me. Je suis ta petite pute. After I changed, I took it over to the desk and told the shop assistant to ring it up. I liked how she tried to hide her surprise as I took out my credit card.
Yeah, fuck you, bitch. I could buy everything in here if I wanted.
All the way back to the apartment, I thought about the bag over my arm. It weighed nothing, but suddenly, it was everything. For the next few nights, I watched him through the windows. They'd got later and later, these writing sessions, fueled by the pots of coffee he'd make on his stove and drink looking out of the windows onto the courtyard. It was something important. I could tell. I could see how fast he typed, hunched over the keyboard. Maybe he'd let me read it one day soon. I'd be the first person he shared it with. I watched him bend down and stroke the cat's head, and I imagined I was that cat. I imagined one day I would lie there on his sofa, with my head in his lap, and he would stroke my hair like he did that cat's fur. And we'd listen to records, and we'd talk about all the plans we'd make. I saw the image of us there together in his apartment so clearly. It was like I was watching it. So clearly that it felt like a premonition.